Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
TS Seth Greenberg. You can catch him on tournament broadcast as well as college basketball analyst for ESPN. And he joins us now. Seth, how you hanging in there, man? Good to hear from you.
Doing well, doing well. Obviously, these are different times, uncharted waters, but my family's healthy, and we had a chance to see some live college basketball the other day, and look, it's difficult. The biggest thing is we got to have some discipline. Our country's got to have some discipline. We've got to have some respect for each other. We've got to make good choices. It's not that hard wearing a mask. It's not that hard keeping social distancing. It's not that hard to give up a little bit right now for the good of the group. We've all got to be great teammates, and that's the focus right now for me.
Yeah, absolutely agree. I hope behaviors have changed in the last week and a half, 2 weeks. That's really kind of our only hope at this point. You've been calling tournament games. It's been nice to watch actual basketball being played, in America with names that we know and recognize. The NBA is obviously trying to restart, Seth, and everybody's getting to the bubble. I know the protocols have been a little bit more stringent with, the tournament, but it's being done. They're having games, they're having sports, and their protocols seem to be working. Should that offer sort of some semblance of hope to other leagues, like the NBA, that are trying to come back in the next few weeks?
I think so, but more importantly, these other leagues aren't taking the time to look at the protocols, taking the time to pick up the phone, call Albert Hall, who runs the NBA Summer League, who's overseeing a lot of the day-to-day execution of the TBT, calling John Mugar. What was good? What was bad? What worked? What didn't work? How do you deal with quarantine? What are you doing with check-in? All those things, because everyone else, they're in the lab. The people that are running the TBT, they actually have executed the plan. And you know what? The key to this whole thing is going to be not just having a plan, but having the versatility and the agility to learn from someone else and then make it a little bit better. It's no different than coaching, where we all steal from each other. So if you see someone do something or defend a ball screen a certain way or defend another action a certain way, you might look through that prism and say, you know what? That's interesting. I might be able to adjust, adapt, have the agility to incorporate that. So I'd be shocked if some of these NBA, these professional leagues don't reach out to the TBT because it is working. The protocol is working.
I saw one of the TBT players, coach, say that it's like survival, almost a double game where, two, you're trying to not get the virus. Obviously, if one player gets it, then your team's out, but you're also trying to win. Said, too, that they're getting tested every day. And while we understand that that's incredibly important right now, it's got to be uncomfortable to say the least. They're going through it, obviously, knowing what the big prize is and willing to do that. But where are they at mentally, do you think, in this terms? Because we're expecting NBA players to go down, right, with this NBA championship at the end and expect them to, stay quarantined for quite a while. These guys have been in Columbus. How are they doing with it?
There's a big difference. I hope that it works with the NBA, but these guys know at most they're going to be in there for 11 days, 12 mm-hmm. days. All right? And I think the interesting thing, I get a kick out of it, is when you have a game in the TBT, you bring all your stuff to the game. And then if you lose, it's like The Bachelor. They put you in the limo and they send you home, right? Except instead of going into the limo, the TBT, you go to the Drury Inn for a day to go through the post game test. But it's going to be really hard. It's going to be really hard for the NBA because you're talking about 3 months. You're talking about 3 months. Right. Now, their protocols will be different because I think if someone does get the virus, they will isolate them. They'll then continue to test everyone else. They're not going to shut a team down like they've done in the TBT, but it's not an easy task. These guys that are playing in the TBT, though, you got to understand, they're playing for $1 million, but a lot of those guys are playing for a cause. A lot of those guys are playing to have one more chance to play with their guys,
right,
the guys they played with in college. So it's a little bit different because they're having that one last shared experience. The TBT, in a lot of ways, and I've been involved with it now for 5 years, it's like a family. And everyone in that family is pulling in the same direction to make sure that this thing comes off. So I think lessons can be learned. I think it'll be interesting to see how the NBA executes it. Now, I've already seen like people showed pictures of what they brought the NBA players while they're in their 48 hours of quarantine, the meals. That's not going to be the meals they're having every day. That's just to get them through the first 2 days. But you can see that, I wouldn't say there's a crack in the bubble, but there's already some people, like, you know, complaining. You can't complain. You've made a choice to play, all right? It's not about excuses. It's not about complaining. It's about making a sacrifice and then sticking to your commitment as long as that, you know, the health situation works well.
Is anybody going to beat this overseas elite team that's added Joe Johnson this year? Carmen's crew, the defending champion that beat them last year, are you talked about family, and it seems like one of the things they've always got going for them, their togetherness. They know each other so well, that team based out of Ohio State. How's this one going to play out, Seth? Can anybody beat overseas elite with Joe Johnson?
Yeah, I think this overseas elite team, they're getting Joe Johnson, they're getting Jared Jack, but I'll tell you who they're not having. They don't have the LeBron James of the TBT, and that's DJ Kennedy, who's won $7 million over the last 5 years. They don't have DeAndre Kane, who played with, actually, DJ Kennedy in high school at Schindler High School and won a state championship.
DeAndre.
They don't have Eric McCollum, who was a big-time shot maker, or Kyle Fogg, who made big plays for him. So this is like overseas elite 2.0, more pros. One thing about the TBT, if you watch the games, your NBA pedigree means nothing. Mm. It's almost like a McDonald's All-American coming to college. Once you step in out, across those lines and you go to your first practice, you're a McDonald's All-American, and everything else that comes along with it, that's over with. You got to get it done between the lines. The greatest thing about the TBT is, you know what? If you play well, you win. If you don't, you lose. What you did in the past has nothing to do with what you're going to do in the future.
We're talking to Seth Greenberg. Catch him on TBT broadcast, college basketball analyst for ESPN. I think the other thing, Seth, that I'm reminded of when I watch, you know, some of these games, and it's been the case, honestly, the last several years, is it is just that reminder of, I mean, these are big-name guys, big-time college players who did not make the NBA or made the NBA, but now they're in the TBT. It's really a reminder of, you know, how damn difficult it is to crack the NBA, isn't it? Because you're watching these games, and these are really, really good players, and they're not in the NBA. And to me, like, it just drives home, like, you got to be the elite of the elite to make that league.
The NBA is a very exclusive club. I say it all the time. Like, all these kids coming out of high school, well, I'm just going to go to the NBA Academy and then just go to the league. No, you're not. Most of you are not. That's just the way it is. Yeah, Malachi Richardson, think about this. The guy had 20 against Virginia in the second half in the Elite Eight game to go to the Final Four. Some teams don't get 20 against Virginia in a half.
Right.
And yet, 2 years in the league, and he's out. So it's not just about getting to the league, it's staying in the league. Look, it's a very exclusive club. And, you know, you've got guys, the great thing about the TBT is you've got these guys that you remember from college. They were very good players in college. They're so much better now because they're stronger. They have a better basketball IQ. They've played in hundreds of games. They've been coached by terrific coaches. And more importantly, they embrace their roles and champion their roles because, you see, here's the deal. When you go to Europe, you better be a winning player, and you better embrace your role, because if you're not a winning player and you don't embrace your role and you don't play to your strengths, you know what happens? You get sent home, and you do not get your check. So the maturity level of these players and their basketball IQ is at another level, and that's why they can come together in such a short period of time and be so stinking good, and the quality of basketball is so good.
Coach, college basketball, Memphis recently scheduled three games, one of them an exhibition. So next season, They'll start a home-and-home with Alabama. How good is Alabama? You hope that that's obviously a game where you're playing in your non-conference, a tournament-caliber team, a team that's going to be there those 2 years. How good are they going to be, you think, under Nate Oates the next couple of seasons?
They should be very good. Recruiting's going at a high level. Their style of play is a style that is fun to watch and fun to play in. They play as fast as any team. They take care of the basketball, and they lose Kyra Lewis and John Petty. But he's done a very good job of recruiting. The SEC is interesting. I thought that, you know, Eric Musselman's done a great job at Arkansas, mm-hmm. keeping guys home recruiting. I think that, you know, Coach Oates has done a really, really good job of recruiting. He's developing not only a culture, but more importantly, they have an identity of how they're going to play. Obviously, Penny's done the same thing in Memphis. So, you know, to me, that's a great game. That's a make-sense game. Like, for Memphis to play Alabama, for Memphis to play Ole Miss, those games are just make sense. And Kermit Davis, by the way, is going to have a very good team as well down at Ole Miss this year.
Yes.
Do you think, Seth, in the wake of sort of the pandemic and you know, every athletic department around the country is sort of, you know, making budget cuts here or there, do you think we are going to see a little bit more of that regionalization, you know, scheduling-wise, whether it's in Big Ten country, Big 12 country, Pac-12? You know, Memphis, do you think we'll sort of see that going forward?
Without a doubt. Fiscally, you have to be responsible right now. I mean, you've got to minimize exposure to potential viruses, but more importantly, you've got to be responsible within your university. And even if it's a guarantee game, you're going to see smaller guarantees. The days of the $110,000 basketball game guarantees, they're over. You're going to see more two-for-ones. You're going to see more teams traveling and playing a mid-major, high majors playing a mid-major on the road and going 2-for-1 so that they have to exchange less money. I mean, it's just right now they're going financially, and obviously with the pandemic, it's difficult. I know everyone says, well, there's always not enough money because coaches are getting paid and they're building facilities. Well, there's debt services on all these buildings. And if you go through a full year at a Power 5 school with no revenue for football, for you know, boxes and season tickets and concession. I mean, you can't make that money up. You still have all those fixed costs. So, yeah, I think you're going to see that. I think that's going to stick around for a while.
Yeah, and then last question, Seth. We certainly do appreciate your time. This is a pivotal year for Penny Hardaway. If you look at the best University of Memphis basketball coaches that have come through the last 30, 40 years, whether it's, you know, Dana Kirk, Gene Bartow, Larry Finch, John Calipari, Josh Pastner, they all had an NCAA tournament appearance to their name by the end of season number 3. As we know, year 2 was cut short for Penny, but it did not look as though he was going to get in the tournament, sort of a miracle run in the AAC tournament. So this is a swing year for Penny. What's sort of your perspective on the job that he's doing and really how crucial this year coming up for him is?
Well, I think Penny Hardaway has more than 3 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
mean, you're Penny Hardaway. You're the face of Memphis basketball. I was really impressed with him. I did the Connecticut-Memphis game. Before the game, I spent a good deal of time with him and spoke with him a little bit, actually, the day prior. And I've had a number of conversations with him since then. He loves basketball. He loves to teach the basketball. He loves to be in the gym. And I think the biggest change for him and the adjustment for him is that, you know, right now, today's young player, really, sometimes they just don't get it. They don't allow themselves to be coached. They have one foot in and one foot out. They look at coaching as criticism. And, you know, I think that finding that balance between being a player's coach, his NBA pedigree, and then also coaching his team hard and being demanding and having a standard. And the standard's the standard of how hard you play and how unselfish you play and the way you play. I think he's going to be fine because he's so relatable. I was so impressed with him and the time I spent with him. He's likable. He's relatable. He's got a ridiculous basketball IQ. He's like a PhD in basketball. But these young players today, they've got to allow themselves to embrace it. It isn't about where you are now. Like the young guys, you know, they look at, you know, well, you know, I need to play the position. Like I'm going to use Precious as an example. Precious would have been a dominant player as a 4-5 guy that just played from 15 feet down. You know, Penny spent a ton of time with him. I watched him in pre-practice and in practice doing skill work with those guys. But you know what? In the end, winning games, Precious, you're dominant. And you know, this is where he's going to play in the NBA too. You're dominant as a hybrid forward that can post up and step out. You know, you've got to play to your strengths right now to put us in position to win. The whole idea is to develop players, to develop people, and to also win games. So I think finding that balance, because they do a great job of player development. The stuff they do before games and in practice is terrific. So I think he's going to be just fine. I wouldn't put a time clock on him because I don't think that's fair. I would say, is he continuing to recruit? Does he have the support of the community? You know how much he cares. Look, if he's not getting it done, you won't have to tell Penny Hardaway to leave. He'll do it on his own because he has too much pride and too much love for the university. He's going to get it done. Like I said, I was blown away. I knew him, but I didn't know him. But the time I spent with him this season, I was really, really just impressed. Just a good basketball guy. And you know, that's coming from a guy that I'm a basketball lifer. He's a basketball lifer, and he looks at it not just as a from a player's perspective. He is all in on being a great coach for Memphis.
Yeah. Hey, Seth, man, this was great stuff.
Appreciate that perspective.
We appreciate the time as always.
Thank you, Coach.
All right, thanks, guys.
Yep. Is Seth Greenberg.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.